welcome to this emergency weekend broadcast of Right Here on Broadcast News for Sunday, June 16th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And believe me, if this was not an emergency, I would not be recording this. Several things have just happened that are extremely alarming, if not ultimately fatal, for much of Western civilization, and we'll get to that. But first, let me read a quote for you, and then you try to guess who said this. All right, here we go. Talking about the United States, quote, "The ongoing attempts by the liberal globalist elites ruling there today to spread their ideology worldwide by any means, to maintain their imperial status, their dominance, only further exhaust the country, lead it to degradation, and directly contradict the true interests of the American people. If it weren't for this dead-end path, aggressive messianism mixed with a belief in their own chosenness and exceptionalism, international relations would have long been stabilized." All right, hard to argue with that. That seems to be a very accurate statement. Who said that? Answer: Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday, just a couple days ago. He said that, and he said a lot more. Imagine if America had a president that could say things that were sensical, you know? Even if he didn't agree with them, if he could just put complex thoughts together, that would be amazing. I saw a meme over the weekend that says, Joe Biden isn't stupid, he has dementia. People who vote for Joe Biden are stupid. And I thought, that's pretty accurate, actually. So what's the big emergency about this weekend here? Okay, let's get right to it. So I posted a story about this with the links on naturalnews.com. Breaking: 2025 NDAA, that's the National Defense Authorization Act, authorizes mandatory military draft of women across America as Pentagon pursues global nuclear war with both Russia and China at the same time. So I linked to the document from the United States Senate Committee on Armed Services. I linked to it in the story that shows you the text that authorizes to put in place the mechanism for a mandatory military draft of women. This document is not itself drafting all women, but it puts in place the mechanism for mandatory drafts or mandatory registration for the draft, i.e. selective service, which is not selective, turns out. And then on top of that, I mean, but that's huge news that women across America are going to die in Russia or in Ukraine. They're going to be killed by the Russian military because the Pentagon wants to throw men and women at Russia. Okay. But also then, just recently, the U.S. House Armed Services Committee approved an amendment to the NDAA that registers all American males of ages 18 to 26 for the mandatory draft. So this means, of course, both men and women of the correct age are now going to be subject to mandatory military drafts in America. And it covers men and women. I'm not sure if it covers all the different genders that the leftists think exist, but I did ask the question, will the Pentagon provide tampon machines for the men? That's the most important question right now. Tampon dispensing machines for the men that they draft into the military. This is really going to be something to watch the woke youth of America as they try to be recruited into the military. Yeah, we used to have movies about that insanity back in the 1980s. They were called Police Academy, by the way. A bunch of misfits being recruited into the military. And didn't Bill Murray star in a movie called Stripes that was kind of like that? So anyway, you get the idea. These wokesters aren't going to make soldiers, that's for sure. But the United States government, the Senate and the House and the Pentagon, they're all in for drafting men and women in America because they're starting World War III. That's why. And if you go to this document, which I'll bring up here, and it's titled United States Senate Committee on Armed Services, Fiscal Year 2025, National Defense Authorization Act Executive Summary, U.S. Senator Jack Reed, Chairman, U.S. Senator Roger F. Wicker, ranking member, dated June 2024. All right. So they're talking about defense funding levels will be $923 billion. So almost $1 trillion, for the fiscal year 2025. Got it? Almost $1 trillion. And then the highlights on this are really something. Like, one of them says that it requires DARPA to establish a quantum scaling initiative to rapidly expand and support the development of quantum computing capabilities for the DoD. Oh, joy. Yeah, just what we need. Freaking multidimensional quantum computers in the hands of, you know, the military, the woke military of the world's most dangerous empire of genocidal murderers, right? But the thing that really caught my attention is on page 4 of this document. It says, let's see, amends the Military Selective Service Act to require the registration of women for selective service. That's the draft. Okay, got it? That's the draft. And then, here's something in section 4, Building American Combat Power. Here's what it says. It requires a DoD plan for deterring and defeating simultaneous aggression by two near-peer nuclear competitors, including requirements for nuclear force sizing. What this means is they're going to scale up nuclear weapons in preparation to wage nuclear war with Russia and China at the same time. That's what that means. They are preparing for World War III with Russia and China at the same time. And in this, by the way, they say, let's see, they increase funding to construct a second Virginia-class submarine. And they're asking for another $1.4 billion for a third destroyer in the Arleigh Burke class of destroyers. And then, let's see, another $25 billion for increased procurement of combat vessels, aircraft, and vehicles. And basically, they're saying, you know, print more money, give us hundreds of billions, maybe even $1 trillion to just buy more weapons and expand our nukes because we're going to war with Russia and China. There's something else that caught my eye in this report that may surprise you. Under the Western Hemisphere section, it says that this the new funding for the DoD requires a plan for training members of the Mexican military force, including rotary wing aircraft training. So basically, they're going to teach Mexican military guys how to fly more helicopters. In addition, the DoD is going to train the national security forces of Costa Rica and Panama. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have a study on the safety and security of the Panama Canal. You know why that's important? You know why? Can you think of a reason? Because the Houthis, look what they did in the Red Sea. Look what they did in the Suez Canal, right? They basically shut down the whole region to ships that they don't want to pass through there. So the Panama Canal then becomes even more important than ever before and more vulnerable than ever before because the Houthis have now demonstrated how to shut down a port without even having a navy. And they've done so quite effectively. So the U.S. is totally freaking out. Okay, one more thing here. From this report, it expands DoD authorities to build the capabilities of foreign security forces, which includes space domain awareness and space operations. You're like, what? We're talking Space Force, Space Warriors, Space Marines. I don't know, but they're openly talking about they have to spend money to dominate space. And then finally, they have sections about how they're going to develop a bunch of AI technology to be weaponized against the world, and then also biotechnology. So they don't say much about that, but they're talking about how they need a DoD-wide biosurveillance strategy to monitor, you know, the effectiveness of all the deadly biological weapons that the DoD unleashes upon the world, obviously. So a lot of exotic technology in this report. Think about it, quantum computing, AI, bioweapons, and Space Force. Kind of raises some question marks, doesn't it? Oh, and I forgot to add, there's also a line that says that they're having a briefing on current and future capabilities to test directed energy weapons, so DEWs, or they call them directed energy systems. So DEWs, quantum computing, AI, space force, biological weapons, quantum scaling initiatives, you know, cybersecurity, all kinds of things like that. So that's what's in this. Plus, of course, potentially drafting all women into the military. So I've been wondering, does the draft cover like fairy elves, wood elves, garden gnomes, like all, what are all the different genders that people have out there? I have no idea, but they can make up genders and they can say, well, we don't qualify for the draft. Okay. Well, we'll see what the military says about that. The draft is, I mean, first of all, the West is going to take us into World War III. Let there be no question about that. That's why this is an emergency. World War III is coming. Now, if you go to Putin's speech that he gave on Friday, it's very methodical. It is incredibly detailed. It's about a 10,000-word speech. It shows a masterful grasp of history, geopolitics, current events, economics, strategic resiliency, all kinds of things. It really shows that Putin is the grand chess master of modern geopolitics and geopolitical warfare. You know, compared to Joe Biden, who is a complete dementia patient and should not be president, obviously. But there are some real key elements here that Putin put in his speech. And in order to fully understand this, I'm going to read just a few paragraphs for you that I think kind of highlight what's going on. Putin has a real strong grasp of the West. It's a kind of viewpoint that, frankly, you would normally only hear in alternative media in America. The corporate mainstream media would never say these things. But Putin is able to observe and recognize a lot of the things that alternative media has been covering for many years. You know, the corruption, the fraud, the incompetence of Western leaders, and so on. So I'd like to read for you some of what Putin said in his speech. And then we'll get to what I think Putin is going to do with this. So a few minutes into his speech, he says, even then, NATO's main diplomatic principle emerged in all its glory. He's talking about the history of NATO and how they destroy nations and try to dominate the world. He continues, deeply flawed and fruitless in resolving complex inter-ethnic conflicts, namely, blaming one side, which for some reason they didn't particularly like, for all sins, and unleashing all political, informational, and military power, economic sanctions, and restrictions on them. So he's speaking to the West's complete lack of subtlety or negotiations or diplomacy. Instead, the West just declares one side is the enemy, and that they're evil, that they're Hitler, that they're Satan, and everything they do is wrong, and then they just unleash mass warfare against that targeted enemy, whoever that is, like Libya. All right, Putin continues. Later, the same approaches were applied in different parts of the world. We know this very well. Iraq, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, and so on. And they never brought anything but exacerbation of existing problems, broken lives of millions of people, the destruction of entire states, the spread of humanitarian and social disasters, and terrorist enclaves. In fact, no country in the world is safe from joining this sad list. And again, he's correct. The U.S. empire runs around the world acting as really the king terrorist. Like, we will bomb you if you don't go along with us. We will sanction you, and then we'll bomb you, and then we'll assassinate your leader, and then we'll use the CIA to cause a revolution, and we'll collapse your currency, and we'll block your trade routes. We'll attack your ships with our ships, and on and on and on. And this is what the West does. This is the model of global domination of the West. You know, economic hitman. And all that. All right, so Putin continues. So now the West is aggressively intervening in the affairs of the Middle East. They once monopolized this direction, and the result is clear and obvious to everyone today. The South Caucasus, Central Asia. 2 years ago at the NATO summit in Madrid, it was announced that the alliance would now address security issues not only in the Euro-Atlantic, but also in the Asia-Pacific region. They claimed their involvement was indispensable there, too. Clearly, this is an attempt to increase pressure on the countries of the region whose development they decided to constrain. As is known, our country, Russia, is one of the top priorities on this list. So what Putin's getting to here is that the West tries to strangle countries either into compliance or oblivion. And one of the ways that the West does this is by destroying infrastructure, such as the Nord Stream pipelines that provided affordable energy to Germany and much of Western Europe. So the U.S. just bombs it and says, oh, it wasn't us. Classic U.S. maneuver is weaken everybody else to try to make America the strongest in the pack. But by doing so, they have to commit acts of terrorism against their allies, like Germany. But also, of course, lots of economic terrorism and other types of terrorism against Russia as well. Putin continues, I also remind you that it was Washington that undermined strategic stability by unilaterally withdrawing from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, the Open Skies Treaty, and, together with their NATO satellites, destroyed the trust and arms control measures built up over decades in the European space. Ultimately, he says, the selfishness and arrogance of Western states led to the current extremely dangerous state of affairs. We have come dangerously close to the point of no return. Calls to inflict strategic defeat on Russia, possessing the largest arsenals of nuclear weapons, demonstrate the extreme recklessness of Western politicians. They either do not understand the scale of the threat they themselves are creating, or are simply obsessed with a belief in their own impunity and exceptionalism. Both could lead to tragedy. Now, that's a really important statement from Putin because it shows that he recognizes that the leadership in America is utterly delusional, that they keep citing their own, you know, American exceptionalism, like we are the exception to all the rules. We are the rules. We are the world order. You know, this is the Madeleine Albright, you know, George Bush view of the world. We are the rules. We make the rules. And everybody else has to conform to our rules. Well, that has led the West into this posture of incredible arrogance and aggression and this belief, this impunity that Putin speaks to, but this belief that the West cannot be defeated in war. And you hear this reflected in the corporate media when they say, you know, every couple of months, oh, here's another magical weapon. We're gonna give Ukraine F-16s. That's going to end the war. Or we're going to give Ukraine Abrams tanks. That's going to end the war. You know, that's going to defeat Russia. Or we're going to give Ukraine HIMARS missiles. Or whatever, so on and so forth. Patriot missiles, medium-range missiles, long-range missiles. And it never defeats Russia because there's this incompetent arrogance in the West that is just bizarre. I mean, it's really a psychological disease that inflicts the minds of the people who mostly went to like Harvard and Yale. That, you know, they went to these East Coast elite schools and then they went into East Coast federal government and they believed all the propaganda they were taught in their schools, which tells them that America is just by default superior to every other nation in the world, and America can defeat every other nation in the world no matter what. Doesn't matter if you don't have hypersonic missiles or the best artillery or anything. It's just because America is exceptional that America will always win no matter what. And that's what they believe, and they are delusional. And that's what Putin is pointing out. Sorry if you can hear my dogs in the background. They're barking at the coyotes. But what Putin says next is really important to understand. Here's the quote. It is evident that we are witnessing the collapse of the Euro-Atlantic security system. Today, it simply does not exist. Wow. So he's talking about mostly the UK and the US, but the European US military and intelligence industrial complex. And Putin is saying that it is collapsing. We are witnessing its collapse. And then he adds, the danger for Europe does not come from Russia. The main threat to Europeans lies in the critical and ever-growing, now practically total dependence on the U.S. in military, political, technological, ideological, and informational spheres. Europe is increasingly being sidelined in global economic development, plunged into chaos by migration and other acute problems, and deprived of international subjectivity and cultural identity. Yeah, he's right. That's because the West is crippling Western Europe's economy by blowing up Nord Stream, but also then exporting wokeism and transgenderism and libtardism. And then Western Europe picks up those values, and then their people, their culture falls apart, and their young men become weak, woke, you know, liberals and transgenders and whatever. So this export out of America, this cultural export of weakness and perversion and, you know, child grooming and pedophilia, child mutilations and just evil and abortions and just all of this, this is a huge export out of America, which has become sort of, you know, very much parts of it steeped in Satanism with their celebration of abortions and their celebration of transgenderism, the whole LGBT cult. And so they're inflicting these twisted demonic values on the Western world. And these values are very strong now in places like London or many other cities across the UK, or Paris or Berlin and other cities across Germany. They're not obviously embraced in countries like Turkey. And that's actually to Turkey's credit. Turkey is rejecting all that incredible woke nonsense. So Turkey actually has a fighting chance and won't suffer total cultural collapse and reproductive collapse like the rest of the West. But anyway, Putin observes all of this. He sees it very clearly. Now then, Putin also comments on this new $50 billion loan to Ukraine that has been architected by the West using the stolen assets that belong to Russia that have been stolen by Western banks, mostly in Europe. And remember, it's about $300 billion in Russian assets that have been seized by these Western banks. And what they're doing now is they're taking the interest earnings on that $300 billion, and they're using that interest, which is a few billion dollars a year. Let's say, I don't know, maybe it's like $5, $6, or $7 billion a year, because it doesn't earn a ton of interest. And they're using that then to make payments on this $50 billion loan that they came up with to loan this money to Ukraine. And now Ukraine is going to default on this loan. How can Ukraine possibly pay it back? It cannot. Ukraine is a collapsed nation at this point. It's a failed state. Ukraine's economy does not function. You know, millions of its people have fled and they're not coming back. Elections no longer take place. There's no freedom of the press. It's a military dictatorship that is a fiscal nightmare. That's sadly what the government of Ukraine has become today. That's not a statement against the people of Ukraine, who are incredibly resilient and quite capable and doing their best in a very difficult situation, no doubt. But the leadership of Ukraine, the illegitimate Zelensky leadership, who's no longer even president, his term expired, he canceled elections, he's got no legitimate claim to power in Ukraine. The leadership has destroyed Ukraine. So now the West has tried to give Ukraine $50 billion more dollars, which will be funneled back into the pockets of the corrupt Western leaders. You know, this is all a money laundering racket. And they're using, again, the interest on the Russian assets that they seized in order to make payments on this loan. So this is some sick, twisted money laundering operation. If you tried this in your own company, you'd be arrested and charged with felony money laundering and wire fraud. Trust me, if you tried this, you'd go to jail. But when they do it for Ukraine, oh, it's all good. Yeah, it's patriotic. So Putin comments on this. Putin gets it. Here's what he says. By stealing Russian assets. Now, hold on a second. As you hear Putin say this, you might be reminded that I've said exactly this same thing many months ago. And so have many other people like Andy Scheckman and others, Gerald Celente, who are commenting on how the West is destroying its own financial credibility by stealing these assets from Russia, okay? So we in the alternative media, we are willing to tell the truth about this. The corporate media will never report this. The Wall Street Journal will never report it. But Putin says it. Okay, continuing. By stealing Russian assets, they will take another step towards destroying the system they created themselves, which for many decades ensured their prosperity. He's talking about the petrodollar global reserve currency status, comma, allowing them to consume more than they earned, attracting money from around the world through debt and obligations. Now it is becoming clear to all countries and companies, sovereign funds, that their assets and reserves are far from safe in both legal and economic terms. And the next in line for expropriation by the U.S. and the West could be anyone. These foreign state funds could be among them. And he continues, distrust of the financial system based on Western reserve currencies is already growing. There's been an outflow of funds from securities and debt obligations of Western states, as well as some European banks, which until recently were considered absolutely reliable places for storing capital. Now even gold is being withdrawn from them, and they are right to do so. So just astonishing. And that's the last quote I'm going to read from his speech. It's a long speech, but it's astonishing that Putin absolutely grasps the truth and the details about what's happening here. He knows that because the West is seizing Russia's assets and exploiting them illegal in a money laundering fraud, this is going to cause all other countries around the world to question whether their assets are safe in Western banks. And as a result of this, more countries will more rapidly move into BRICS, the BRICS currency system. This is why recently Turkey announced it's going to join BRICS. Saudi Arabia already in. And remember what happened, what was it, a week ago? A little over a week ago? Saudi Arabia said they're not renewing what is essentially the Bretton Woods Agreement, which was that all oil that the Saudis sold was going to be sold only in dollars, and that's the way it was for 50 years, and that ended last week. That's done. You think the Saudis are going to go back and do that again? Not a chance. So mark my words here, folks. The dollar's done. This is the beginning of the end of the dollar, which means this is the beginning of the end of the U.S. empire, because it's supported by dollar printing and the exporting of debt. But in order to export debt, you have to have other suckers all over the world who are willing to buy it and sit on it and sit on U.S. reserves or to spend them for oil. Well, they don't need them for oil anymore, and they don't want to buy U.S. dollar reserves because the dollar is collapsing in value. So the dollar's done. Now it's just a matter of time, and I think it's going to happen much more quickly than most other people believe. They think the dollar is going to be all good for decades. I just laugh. They're like, you're out of your mind. Dollar is not going to exist. Not in anywhere near its current value, not even by 2027. Are you kidding me? I mean, there'll still be a dollar. It'll just be so worthless. I mean, I don't know. Will it be worth 10% of what it is today? 1%? 0.1%? I don't know the answer. There's orders of magnitude questions there, but it's not going to be worth anywhere close to what it's worth today. It'll be a relic, and eventually it'll be at a museum. This is what the dollar used to be. And a lot of people might visit that museum and look at it as like, oh yeah, I used to have a bunch of those. And then that's how I got wiped out. They became worthless. We don't know why. Yeah. Putin knows why. He just explained it to you. If every American would read Putin's speech, they would understand how the West has weaponized dollar inflation and money printing against the American people. That's what's so funny about this, that for Americans to get the truth, they have to read Putin's speech. It's amazing because you get nothing but lies from the American government or the American media or CNBC or whoever. Nothing but lies. That's why you have to turn to the alternative media, or in this case, an international viewpoint that explains what's happening. So the dollar's done. Okay, the West knows this. It's also apparent that Joe Biden cannot win this election, not even by a long shot, and that Trump's margin of victory is pretty well understood at this point to be beyond the margin of cheating. In addition, many conservatives across America at the state level have successfully passed and defended many election integrity initiatives. A couple of cases recently that just struck down a bunch of ballot stuffing. I think one of them was in Michigan, in fact. So believe it or not, the local state Republicans are actually doing a pretty good job. And they're going to deploy 500 attorneys and I don't know how many thousand election observers all across the country for this upcoming election. It's going to make it very difficult for Democrats to cheat. So that means that there's a sense of sheer desperation in the State Department, in the Pentagon, you know, in the, well, at Obama's house. It's like, how do we keep Biden in power? How do we prevent Trump from taking power? And the answer in their minds is very clear. We have to stop the election. How do we stop the election? They can't let it take place. Well, how did Zelensky stop the election? Well, they just declared that they were in a war, and then they declared no more elections. And that's how Zelensky's in power. So that's a roadmap for what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. They're going to do the exact same thing. They're going to make sure a war starts between now and Election Day, probably in the next 90 days, I would say. And then they're going to declare that, well, we can't have elections in the middle of a war. And that's going to set off all kinds of chaos nationwide. But the Democrats will try anything. They're desperate. But, you know, we had elections during World War II, by the way. We had elections during the Vietnam War, during the Korean War, during the war on Iraq. I mean, we've always had elections during wars. So it's going to be a tough sell for the Democrats to try that. But they'll try anything. And how do they start a war? Well, they're trying to right now. They keep provoking Russia. You know, they just signed a 10-year deal with Zelensky, which is laughable. Zelensky's going to be lucky to survive the next 10 months. And again, Ukraine as a nation will be lucky to survive the next 2 years. It's not going to exist. I mean, 10-year deal with Ukraine. I mean, what are these people thinking? They're on crack. Maybe Hunter Biden had some extra and he just passed it around. Anybody want some crack? You know, and they all took some crack and then wrote up all these policies. Like, the dollar's going to be really strong by 2050. Give me a break. Dollar's going to be non-existent by that time. But the West needs a way to start a war. So they will set off a nuke, probably. Where? In a Western city, a nuke that they can blame on Russia. That's probably what this is going to come to. A nuclear false flag event that can be blamed on Russia. Or a cyber attack that can be blamed on Russia. Or an attack on the financial infrastructure, you know, banking systems. Like, they'll collapse the currency and then they'll say, it's Russia's fault. It wasn't us. It wasn't our money printing. Russia did it. You're like, what's the proof? And they'll just say, just trust us. Why would we lie? You know. The White House press secretary. Of course it was Russia. So we're headed into a very, very dangerous time, and it seems incredibly unlikely that we will make it to November 5th without World War III being initiated. And the fact that America is now going to automatically register all young men and women for the draft so that they can all be drafted, that's now done. They said they wouldn't do that, you know, previously. Now they did it. So it's pretty obvious what they're planning on doing. They're planning on escalating war with Russia. In fact, they've rejected Putin's speech. I mean, Lord Austin, even, of the Pentagon, he rejected it in the last day or so, saying, you know, Russia invaded and they violated the sovereignty of Ukraine, and we can't allow that to happen. I mean, any spokesperson, any leader in the Pentagon talking about that it's wrong for one country to violate the sovereignty of another country, oh my God, have you looked in the mirror? Have you looked at the history of the U.S. empire? I mean, just since the Gulf War, just Libya, just Afghanistan, Syria, on and on. How many examples do we need here? Somalia, Yemen, Sudan. Freaking, you know, Colombia, right? I mean, it just goes on and on. Never ends. So to have U.S. leaders lecture Russia about the national sovereignty and integrity of these smaller nations, it's a clown show. So the way I see it, there are really two ways that this goes. As far as I can tell, these are the only two options. Option number one, which I see as the least likely option, is that Putin and Russia realize that they can't negotiate with the West, that Western leaders are delusional, insane, incompetent, arrogant, suffering under this delusion of exceptionalism. They engage in no diplomacy. You can't talk to them. And realizing that, then Russia might launch a surprise first strike attack on the United States and NATO. All right. Again, I think that's a small chance of that happening, but it's there. It's a possibility. The far larger chance, in my view, is that Putin does not take this nuclear. He continues to fight methodically with, you know, kinetic weapons, regular weapons, non-nuclear weapons. And then the West launches a nuclear attack on themselves, the false flag option. To me, that's about a 90% chance in my mind before election day. Now, maybe it's not nuclear, maybe it's a cyber attack, but it's going to be major, something that would take down the power grid, something that would plunge the West into chaos and interrupt everybody's life. And then they would be able to declare a big emergency. Oh, we're at war. We're, you know, now, okay, we have to cancel elections. We have to cancel. Well, remember Germany's new plan, the new plan for World War III that we talked about like a week ago? Germany's plan is pretty much the model for the plan for the U.S., which is outlined in the NDAA, by the way. And it's simply this, that the government will seize all forms of food. The government will control all food, farms, seeds, livestock, all farm equipment, including the tractors and so on, all transportation vehicles. The government will then control all food supplies and then will have food stamps, and they will allow people to have a certain amount of food. In Germany, they promise one hot meal per day to every German citizen. Okay, so there's your bowl of oatmeal slop for the day. Enjoy. In America, they'll do the same thing. They'll probably initiate gun confiscation because they'll say, well, they're a domestic terrorist. Yeah, you let them through with the open borders, you morons, for God's sake. So they'll probably confiscate guns. They'll confiscate food as much as they can. They'll control the farms. They'll control the refineries and the fuel. You won't be able to get fuel without a ration card. You won't be able to buy groceries without a ration card. And you'll be put on a starvation diet. And also, you won't be allowed to quit your job. You can be criminally arrested if you do, because the government will then dictate to your company what you need to do for the war effort, you know? So there'll be centralized communist control over the entire domestic U.S. economy. Every manufacturer will be ordered what to make. Every transportation company will be controlled by the government and ordered what to drive, to where, what to transport. You get the idea. Every IT system will be weaponized against the American people to silence dissent and to run the war effort. The First Amendment will be canceled. The Second Amendment canceled. Probably the Fourth and Fifth as well. This is going to be a total military dictatorship in America. And it'll all be justified because, well, we're at war. Can't have freedom of the press, can't have free speech when, you know, we're in a war. You know, we have to all be together with Joe Biden. He's the leader and we're at war. You know, that's going to be the thing. We're at war. So whatever, fill in the blank. Kind of like 4 years ago. Well, there's a pandemic and therefore blank, you know, you have to be locked down. You can't travel. You have to wear a mask. You have to take this jab. You have to pull your kids out of school, whatever the case may be. They said, well, it's COVID, therefore you have no rights. That was the logic of COVID. Because of COVID, you have no civil rights. There's no rule of law. We tell you what to do. The mayor, the city council, the county, the state, the federal government, we tell you what to do. And you say, sir, yes, sir. And we tell you to jump. You say, how high, sir? That's what happened during COVID, and that's what's going to happen in the coming war. The war that could be prevented right now if common sense would prevail in the West and leaders would just say, okay, you know, Putin, we accept your starting point for negotiations. Let's have a ceasefire. Let's sit down and let's see if we can come to a compromise. But there's nobody in the West capable of compromise or diplomacy or even communication any longer, because they are hyper-privileged, arrogant, incompetent, woke-tard fools. I'm talking about the UK. I'm talking about France and Macron. I'm talking about Germany and, of course, the US and, of course, Canada. Can you imagine if Justin Castro Trudeau goes in there to negotiate? What a clown show that would be. But there's nobody in the West who can even negotiate with Russia. So there is zero possibility of peace, which means the West is going to ramp this up. They're going to try to delay Russia while they're secretly trying to ramp everything up as quickly as possible. That was the whole point of the Minsk agreements, as was admitted by NATO leaders. You know, the whole point was to just delay Russia while we train a bunch of troops in Ukraine. Well, that didn't work out, turns out. I mean, didn't work out for Ukraine. So that's what's going on. And the clock is ticking because, of course, if Trump gets in the White House, then probably thousands of these people go to prison, is my guess. If Trump gets elected, gets in the White House, half of America is going to say, you know, on day one, Trump, arrest them all. That's going to be the rally cry right there. Arrest them all. And, you know, Ivan Raiklin, have him lead the arrest teams. You know what I mean? Live stream the arrests. It's going to be, I mean, half of America is going to be screaming for that. So this cabal in power has to stop Trump, which means they have to stop the elections. They've run out of options. They can't cheat their way to victory. They can't propagandize the American people any longer. Like they successfully did a lot of that in 2016, but the American people, they're much wiser now. They've seen all the lies from the corporate media. They don't believe the corporate media any longer. And why does Tucker Carlson have an audience that's like 100 times larger than CNN? Nobody believes CNN any longer. And by the way, the regime hasn't even shut down Alex Jones. And the court in Houston ruled on Friday that they dismissed the bankruptcy liquidation of Free Speech Systems. I don't know if you know that, because the media didn't even report it correctly. They lied again. But Free Speech Systems, which is the company that runs InfoWars, there's no more bankruptcy liquidation order against them. Instead, the court said that Alex Jones personally has to liquidate all of his assets, which isn't that much, by the way. So Alex has to sell off his rifle collection. I might buy a couple of those. That sounds really interesting. Because I've actually seen his rifles, and there's a couple of good ones in there. Because he had him at the office, you know. He's got some, you know, memorabilia. I mean, he already sold his house like 2 years ago or whatever it was. Alex doesn't have a lot of assets, so what? They take his assets. Well, guess what? There's a certain amount that's excluded from bankruptcy chapter 7. You can still keep your house. You can keep, you know, a car. You can keep the clothes on your back. Hey, you can keep enough money to buy groceries and what have you. So the deep state didn't even stop Alex Jones, even though they unleashed everything against him, and they failed. And I think part of the reason is because America is awakening. And even this judge in Houston probably sees how weaponized this system has become. But my point is, the regime in power is, they are slipping by the day. They are losing power. The more they try to prosecute Trump, the more America turns against them. The more they try to silence and censor people, the more they get exposed. I mean, we filed a lawsuit against Department of Defense, Homeland Security, State Department. That was on Memorial Day. We filed the lawsuit, named Big Tech, you know, Google, Meta, Twitter, and others. We're suing them. And in our lawsuit, it exposes the entire censorship industrial complex, as we call it, the censorship laundering on an international scale. This is all being exposed. So the regime is running out of options. They can't run the ballot stuffing mules again this year because they got caught, thanks to, you know, Dinesh D'Souza and that movie. everybody's monitoring all their GPS coordinates, you know. They can't run the ballots through the machines over and over and over again because there's going to be so many observers now. They're not going to be able to do the thing. Oh, we had to shut down at 3 a.m. because of a water pipe breaking. Nobody's going to buy that, man. They can't cheat the way they cheated in 2020. And they know they can't rig it like that. So their only option is to stop the election. That's why I think, again, 80, maybe 90% chance we get hit with a massive false flag probably in the next 100 days, let's say. I said 90 earlier, but you know, there's a window. It's a guess. I don't know exactly when, but in the next few months, either a nuclear bomb detonates in America, set off by the deep state itself, or a cyber attack false flag, or a power grid down false flag event, like really hard, like taking the grid down for weeks, or some other kind of false flag event, you know, EMP attack, but maybe it's us attacking ourselves. Who knows? Space Force, you know, drops an EMP over North America and then blames Russia or North Korea. Something big is coming. And I was talking with my team over the weekend, just making them aware of this and wondering out loud, what is going to happen to our operations, as in healthrangerstore.com, because we manufacture and package and ship a lot of food. And of course, you know, in our case, it's all lab tested and it's certified organic and it's heavily scrutinized for cleanliness and safety and everything else. Long-term storage, you know, number 10 cans, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, literally the very best storable food available on the planet. Well, what if, you know, suddenly we're in a war and the federal government just shows up and says, okay, we are commandeering your Health Ranger store facilities and now you're going to make food for the military. And this is a national security issue and you have no choice. We're going to commandeer your output. When that day comes, folks, we don't have much choice. We can't sell you the food any longer because the government will commandeer it. And they'll probably just show up with their, you know, military trucks and load it all up. I don't even know if they're going to pay for it. I have no idea. They probably won't. Probably just steal it. Just like they do Russian assets, you know, just steal all our food. And I guess I'll just have to wave it goodbye and say, well, at least the soldiers are getting clean superfoods. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the best thing that they ever got. I mean, what else am I supposed to do? You know, you can't fight the military. What I'm going to try to do is if it starts hitting the fan and crazy stuff starts happening, I'm going to get on here the podcast and tell you what I'm saying right now, which is hurry up and buy our food before the government comes and steals it. Okay, that's it. And then, you know, the government can order us to continue to manufacture food and first aid items and things like that. Imagine when they find out I have the best first aid gel that kills all kinds of pathogens, that's based off colloidal silver and like 7 essential oils. Yeah, I formulated it myself. That could save a lot of lives on the battlefield, come to think of it, you know. But they're going to tell us, to keep making more food, but we're going to have a supply chain problem, obviously. Number one, because most of the young males are going to be all drafted to go die in Europe. So how's our supply chain going to work? And then the government's going to take over all trucking and distribution. So, of course, that's going to collapse. You know, the free market's not running it anymore. It's all going to be centrally planned from the morons in Washington. It's like, you're never going to get a shipment. So what are we going to do? Just stand around with our thumbs up our butts waiting for product to arrive so we can make something? I mean, no. If it comes to that, we close it down. You can't get supplies. You can't keep paying people to just sit around doing nothing. So if there's no supplies, there's no business, we shut it down. And I guess wait for the war to end one way or another. I don't know. Everybody go home and grow fruit trees and start sprouting. I don't know. But the reason I say all this is I do not know if we will be operating 6 months from now because of the coming war. And I would think that there's a similar situation for, you know, grocery stores, for Amazon, for other food storage companies. I mean, think about the gold and silver markets. There's not that much gold and silver left in the system when people panic, you know? It'll be gone in about 3 days. It's done. Everything that you can think of, but also fuel, you know, diesel fuel, gasoline, whatever. You won't be able to get it. Spare parts. Nope, sorry, not available. Situation will be royally screwed. Snafu'd, as we say, which is a technical term in the military. So this is what I think is coming for America before Election Day. And I pray to God that I'm wrong. I pray to God that there's enough white hats inside the system that stop this insanity. I pray to God that even when the deep state, you know, the O'Biden people are plotting like, okay, let's set off a nuke in, you know, wherever. Maybe they'll probably do it in Florida to punish DeSantis. You know, let's set off a nuke in Miami and then we can claim Russia did it and it came from Cuba, you know. I pray to God there's some white hats that just arrest those people. Like white hats in the same agencies. Like that there's still enough good guys in the CIA or in the DOJ or in the FBI or in the DOD or in the DIA or wherever, that there's still enough good guys and gals in there that just say, no, that's crazy. We're not going to nuke an American city so you can have your damn war, you lunatics. I hope there's somebody still left in the system who can stop this. And the bizarre thing about this is that if that happens, we'll never know. Somebody might be giving their life right now inside the system to stop some mad lunatic from destroying the world. And maybe they're successful. And then maybe we don't have World War III, but we'll never learn who that person is because it's all behind closed doors. It's all inside the agency. Everything's super secret. And we never know the story. How many times has that already happened, by the way? That the world-ending lunatics have been stopped by good people or maybe sort of gray people, you know, not white hat, not black hat, but gray hat people who suddenly grew a conscience and said, this is enough. I cannot participate in the mass murder of millions of people. Because that happens, I'm sure, from time to time inside various governments. So I really wonder. I wonder if we're at that kind of moment in history right now, because I know the regime is absolutely desperate. I know they will kill millions of people to stay in power. That's clear. And they've already killed 500,000 Ukrainians to stay in power. Or I should say, they've sacrificed 500,000 Ukrainians that did not have to die in order for the Western leaders to stay in power and to try to weaken Russia. So there's no limit to the millions that they will kill to stay in power. The question is, will somebody stop them from going full nuclear war? And I honestly don't know the answer to that question. But that's why we should prepare for the worst case scenario, because that's what's likely to occur, frankly, at this point. Wish I was wrong. Hope I'm wrong. I hope I can do an announcement the day after the election and say, my God, the election, actually, we made it. We got through the election. And, you know, look at the outcome. The American people are ready for a change. And we didn't die in a nuclear holocaust. I hope to God that's what I can report. I'm just afraid that that's irrational, wishful thinking. I don't think we make it there. All right, a couple of practical notes here. I have a request from you. If any of you are experts in expert electricians, I actually have a request. So pardon me if this doesn't apply to you, but we're trying to connect a generator, a big diesel generator, to our one of our local data centers for backup power. And we have a question of how to properly interface the output posts to what's called an Anderson connector. I think it's a 350 amp Anderson connector that goes to a cable to our transfer switch. If you are a master electrician and you would like to help us with this problem, I would greatly appreciate you volunteering to just help us. Reach out to us at situationupdate@protonmail.com And just put Master Electrician in the subject line. And then if you can help us out, we'll send you some photos and really appreciate your help. We don't want to get this wrong because, you know, sparks might fly and who knows what might be damaged. But we are trying to put backup systems in place here because we know that the power grid's going down. And we also know, we think, nuclear war is coming. So we've invested in some big diesel generators. And these, you know, I mean, we're talking 350 amps here of power coursing through one of these things. And that's not the only generator. So we're trying to be ready to be able to function off grid and just pour diesel fuel into this and run our food operations so we can actually continue to serve you as long as possible. I don't know how long that's going to be, but there we are. By the way, our operation today, if you're listening to this on Sunday, until midnight tonight, we still have our Father's Day sale going on. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/Father's Day, no apostrophe, no space, you'll see our Father's Day specials there. We've got a lot and some bonus items and some gifts and things. And the Dawson knives we have, including Escape from LA, which I co-designed that knife. Maybe I'll tell you the full story one day, but that whole knife is actually, that's my idea. And then Dawson just like made it work with all the right ratios and curves and everything. But I was like, I want a knife that's a pry bar, you know, and it has this very capable flat edge that can be used for hacking, and it can break small chains, and it can pry open windows and pry open car doors. And it's got a crush on the back end so I can smash windows and escape from vehicles or whatever. And that became Escape from LA. So that knife, which is also made out of MagnaCut, which is corrosion resistant, and it has this just brutally tough handle made out of G10 material with a special texture on it, that knife is back in stock at healthrangerstore.com for Father's Day. Fathers love knives, believe me. Fathers love knives that are named Escape from LA. that's like the best Father's Day gift right there. All right, so you can take advantage of that till midnight, or if you're listening to this after Sunday, then you can just get our non-special items and just get what you can while you can, because I don't know how long we're functioning. Odds are that the Health Ranger store operation is not functioning by Christmas, not by our choice, but because of World War III. I do want to reiterate, we will continue to function as best we can in every opportunity that we can, but there's a pretty good chance that we're going to be commandeered by the government. There are some other scenarios, by the way, though, like if Texas secedes from the federal government, which is a very real possibility, or other states secede, then there's a possibility that the government of Texas may approach us and say, hey, we need you to make food for, you know, the Texas military or whatever, so we're going to commandeer your food facility, you know? So I'm like, well, okay. I mean, look, I'd rather be taken over by the state of Texas than taken over by Washington, D.C. So, you know, do what you got to do. Well, I mean, we're just trying to feed people with healthy, clean food. I mean, you know, we're not fighting wars here. We're not building bombs. We're making soup, you know, we're doing like quinoa and miso soup and chlorella and, you know, freeze dried strawberries and blueberries. I mean, blueberries, not bombs. That should be our slogan, you know, paint on the roof, not a weapons facility. You know, we pack food. Something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking ahead too far, but we're in some very uncertain times, and I don't have a good vibe about where things are going in the next 6 months. Again, I hope I'm completely wrong. I hope the election works. I hope America comes back from this authoritarian tyranny, this police state, government censorship, you know, weaponization of every agency. I hope we come back from that. I'm ready and willing to be part of that because I love my country. And that's why I'm so sad that we're losing it. So get what you can while you can. HealthRangerStore.com. And as long as we can get supply chains and labor, we'll keep making food, super clean food for you. And when we can't, well, I'll tell you about it. All right, one last note here. If you haven't yet seen my interview with Steve Quayle that we published this week, I encourage you to check it out. You can find it on my channel on brightown.com. It's called HR Report, of course. And let's see, it's called The Sum of All Fears is Here. That's the Steve Quayle interview. So check it out. Thank you for listening to this emergency weekend broadcast. God bless you all. God bless America. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And if you'd like to take advantage of our Father's Day sale event at our store, healthrangerstore.com, just go to healthrangerstore.com/Father's Day, and you'll see all the specials we have here for Father's Day, beginning with our knife series, which is all back in stock. And these are amazing knives. We co-designed these with Dawson Knives, and they use the MagnaCut alloy, which is highly corrosion resistant, but yet holds an edge, is very sharp, very durable, but also flexible so that it doesn't shatter. It's really kind of a breakthrough material for knives. Those have G10 handles as well, super high end. Now, check out what I have on my desk. These are all products that we have back in stock. The toothpaste being the most famous, that you see the Groovy Bee toothpaste there at the top, that we have 7 pallets of that the FDA tried to have incinerated. And through our attorneys, we were able to rescue the toothpaste. And one of our attorneys, a former FDA person, by the way, said they couldn't believe that the FDA was pulling some shenanigans on us to try to destroy our toothpaste. It's just incredible what they do. But we were able to rescue that. We've got it in our warehouse. It passed all our laboratory tests. It's incredible. It's a peppermint aniseed toothpaste. It's available now during our Father's Day sale event, along with many other products. Show my screen. There's the toothpaste right there, the Groovy Bee toothpaste. Yay, rescued from incineration. They wanted to put it in ovens, man. Okay, now we also have mouthwash. We've got, see everything on the desk? All kinds of different mouthwash flavors. We have the Castile liquid soap, and there on the left-hand side, we've got the magnesium deodorant with baking soda as well, and the silver first aid gel, which is made from Texas rainwater, and then we make colloidal silver out of that using silver plates and a system that I actually engineered, and we do our own colloidal silver that way. We've got numerous products on sale right now during the Father's Day sale event, healthrangerstore.com/Father's Day. It's good until Sunday night at midnight. And if you purchase $199 or more, that's $199 or more, you get a free gift here, which is a free Silver Fresh liquid deodorant with magnesium and baking soda. And we do have plenty of those to include for free. So check out all the available items. We've got, look, a backup food supply. What dad doesn't want a survival ranger bucket set and some kick-ass knives? For the end times, you know, zombie thrashers. You can get this for your dad or your granddad or a dad that you know who's a dad. You can get all these products. They're available now, healthrangerstore.com. Many of them are on sale. Just put in /Father's Day to see the whole selection. And thank you for your support. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Thank you for raising healthy, aware children who represent the future of the human race on planet Earth. I'm Mike Adams of healthrangerstore.com, and thank you for your support. Take care.